If you have your Bibles today, I encourage you to open the John chapter 14. John chapter 14 is where I'm going to be speaking from today. I'm glad you're here today. I believe this is a great service. I believe God's presence is here. And thank you for choosing to come to church today. I know you could have opened up your window blind and said, you know, it's foggy. Anybody drive through fog this morning? Praise God for fog, isn't it? Wonderful thing. Isn't that, actually, I pray for God's presence to just indwell us like with a fog, and that we would just know his presence, and it'd be so thick that you're just like, wow, God's presence is here. And so thank you for choosing to come today. Bailey is turning 9 today. Happy birthday to you, Bailey, and congratulations on making it to 9. Make it to 10 too, okay? Congratulations. Happy birthday. And you were able to see Carter and Lakin and Lexany get baptized today. I encourage you to pray for them. There's something about making a public proclamation that the enemy doesn't like, doesn't want. And so I just assume that this week there might be some friends of theirs that pick on them or disagree with them, or maybe even because there's 3 in one home, maybe even home things can be difficult this week. So you pray for them. And then I encourage maybe one of you, 2 of you somewhere in the room, maybe you would like to pray for them for the rest of their lives. And maybe you want to add them to your prayer list, and you say, you know what, I can pray for that young man, and because they're making a statement of faith. And so thank you in advance for praying for these 3, and what a wonderful thing. Thank you, 3, for wanting to be baptized and follow the Lord all of your life. Even when temptations and trials and difficulties come, you follow the Lord. The title of the message is, How Much Can I Do? The title of the message is that way because it says something great and powerful in this passage. But before I go here, I want to back up just a hair and share where Jesus is at. These chapters of John 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17, as a reminder, if you have a red letter edition, it's going to be a lot of red. Jesus is talking here. Jesus was with the disciples the last week of his life. He washed the disciples' feet, and he has told Judas to go and said, you go do what you're going to do. He tells them a new command, and that new command is love one another. He tells Peter that he's going to deny him 3 times. And last week we saw Jesus give his 6 of 7 I am's, that I am being I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man come to the Father except through me. He's giving further instructions to his disciples, and he does it here. One of the things that Jesus tells us here is that we're going to do great things. I hope that you're excited about what God has already done and is going to do through you. I think this is something phenomenal that God's Spirit is willing to work in and through each of us to do even greater things. He's not done yet with you. He's not done with me yet. I hope not. I hope not. He still needs to work in me. He's not done. And so I hope that maybe you just hear this today. Not just how much can I do because of within your power, but because Christ, the living Spirit, is living in you, how much more can he do within you? And so if you join me in John chapter 14, I'm going to start at verse 8 and I'm going to go through verse 14 today. It's on the Bible in front of you in a chair rack if you didn't happen to bring one, on page 901. And if you're an underliner, there might be a phrase or 2 you just need to underline in your Bible. If you're not that person, then maybe you write it down somewhere, because there's a couple that just pop out of the text, I believe. Maybe one that the Holy Spirit will bring to you that I don't even share about. John chapter 14, verse 8. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or else believe on account of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, And greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. The first thing I want you to see is this. Jesus showed us the Father. Philip asked the question to have Jesus show us the Father. Show us the Father. And Jesus is patient, but he says, I've been with you. Don't you know? He says again, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I wonder if this is true of you. I wonder if it's true of me. I wonder if it's true of us. Do others see God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit within us? Do they see that coming out of us? Maybe it's a good discussion over lunch and say, hey, do you think I exhibit godly characteristics? That's what the scripture is saying. The scripture is saying is that if you've seen Jesus, then you've seen the Father. What did Jesus show of the Father? He showed his love. He showed compassion. He showed light. He showed grace. In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, here's what it says. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his nature, upholding all things by his powerful word. After he had purified purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. The Son is the exact radiance of God's glory, exact representation. Do you know the Son? If you know the Son, Jesus, then you know the Father. I thought of some father-son duos that you might know of, you may not know. You obviously probably don't know many of these personally. Maybe you do. A couple of them have passed on. But I thought of some fathers and sons, and did the son do greater work than the father? I don't know. But I'll share with you a couple. First one is this guy here, John Adams, one of our presidents. And then his son was John Quincy Adams. Now, I don't know if you're a historian or not, if you would say John Quincy did more than John, but there's a father and a son. Here's another president that we've had, George H.W. Bush, and then his son, George Walker Bush. Maybe you think, well, maybe George Walker did a better job than George H.W. I don't know, but are there things that the father and the son have done? Here's another guy. And his son. Now, here's a little trivia thing for you. Bill Gates Jr. is obviously very wealthy. He's about 5'10", is about how tall Bill Gates Jr. stands. You know how tall Bill Gates Sr. is? He's 6'6", is how tall Bill Gates Sr. is. The photo's been cropped, so you can kind of see the Mary Lasker Foundation, whatever, and you can see, I mean, just a big man. 6'6". How about this guy and his son? Anthony, if he truly is the father of LeBron James, has an extensive criminal record and not involved in his life at all. Now we have another senior and his son. Arguably one of the best quarterbacks, if not the best quarterback, in the National Football League. Now we have another pitcher and his son, The Rock, if you know that. And we have another pitcher of another guy and his son. Wasn't Jimmy Buffett, Warren Buffett. Father, son. We each have dads, and some of those have shown us some great things. Some of you have some awesome dads, and you look back fondly on your dad. Some of you are like, yeah, my dad wasn't so much. Our Heavenly Father shows us the image of who he is through Jesus. In Colossians 1, verse 15, it says this, "The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation." Jesus shows us the Father. Second thing I want you to see is this. We can do greater works than Jesus. This is what it says. Let me repeat what the Bible says. Truly, truly, I say to you, truly, truly, as a reminder, when it says truly, truly, we should stop and pause for a moment. There's a reason why it says truly, truly. The old King James, it would have said, verily, verily. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I'm going to the Father. This phrase is a bit perplexing to me and encouraging in the same sentence. Perplexing to believe that I, me, or you, us, every person who believes in Jesus can do more than him. I don't know if you've thought about that in recent days, but I think on that, what in the world is Jesus saying here? I mean, does it mean that we can perform miracles? Does it mean that we can walk on water? Does it mean that we can raise people from the dead? Wouldn't that be something? And I want everybody to understand this. When it says, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me, it means it's available for everyone. Now, some of us sometimes are saying, well, you know, that's not available for me. That's available for pastors. So Pastor Ron can do that. Pastor Glenn, now they can do more than Jesus because they're pastors. Look at these guys. They are so full of the Spirit. Or you may say somebody else in the church, you might look at somebody else and say, well, that person's a godly saint. Obviously, it's through them, but not through me. There is no clause here that says there's a certain gender, a people group, you have to speak a certain language. It's whoever believes in me will do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do. This should invigorate, encourage, embolden, stimulate, enliven, bolster, kindle, inspire, enthuse, and help you to mount on wings of eagles. Jesus says that you can do greater things. The creator of the universe communicates that to each of us. Maybe we should ask, though, the question of this. What is the works of Jesus? He wasn't a basketball player. He wasn't a millionaire. We don't know that he was a great chef. He might have been a cook. I don't know. He and Peter were up on the sand and a little fish came out, but we don't know. He wasn't a top salesman. He wasn't a doctor. He didn't have to be a doctor. He just said, hey, here you go. He wasn't a nurse. He wasn't a teacher of the year. He also wasn't rabbi of the year either, by the way. Though he was a rabbi, there were some people that probably wanted him not to be rabbi of the year. He wasn't the employee of the month. He wasn't the best grandpa. Jesus lived an authentic life, and he served him while showing us the life. Here are some miracles that have thus far happened in John. In chapter 2, he turned the water into wine. In chapter 4, he healed the official's son. In chapter 5, he healed the crippled man who had been crippled for 38 years. In chapter 5, he also fed the 5,000. In chapter 6, we see that he walked on water. In chapter 9, he healed the blind man. Immediately, we may think this is what Jesus is saying. Maybe we're saying, oh, I'm going to do great miracles. I'm going to walk on water. Watch out, world. And he may choose to do that through you. But this is what I see the scripture saying. I see the scripture saying that maybe the greater works to have interaction with the Godhead because we have the Spirit living within us. Then the actual ability is for Christ to be seen in us every day, every moment, and then all of our works are surrendered to the Lord Jesus Christ. John Piper says it this way. His work was what he did to draw attention to the glory of his Father. Let me repeat that. His work was what he did to draw attention to the glory of his Father. Leave that up there for just a moment on the screen. Sometimes we think we have to do this magic thing. And we have to do specific things. But if Christ is living in us and through us, then those things just happen and those great things happen. Maybe we will do greater works of showing others the Father because we are merely men and we are merely women that can glorify and exemplify God. Thus, he's taking the old man and making us into the new man or woman, if you will, and making us who that person should be. Jesus was 100% man and 100% God. God shining through us is very, very important. When we think of doing greater works, we immediately think of things that we have to do. And it's not about things that we have to do. It's who we are and Christ living within us. I also want you to think of this. When it talks about greater works, think of what happened at Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. The flowing of the Spirit, tongues of fire on people's head. How many were added on the day of Pentecost? How many were added? Anybody know? Number? 3,000 were added on the day of Pentecost. How many were following Christ when he passed away and then he rose again from the dead? It's figured on about 500 people. So here's what Jesus is saying. Greater things is what's going to happen. And here I have 500 followers, but at Pentecost, what's going to happen? 3,000. And then a couple of chapters later, it says they were added, the number were 5,000. Think of that. I would be very busy if somehow our church went from 300, or let's say our church is 500, went from 500 to 5,000. Can you imagine that? I mean, that would just be, how would we do that? God can do that, and he blesses in certain ways at certain times. Think of the place where you work. I'm just thinking across the congregation. Just think, if you had like 20 in your class at school, and now you have 400 in your class at school. Oh, my. Talk about bathroom break times. Well, that's what a challenge that would be. Talk about trying to get them through the food line. Incredible. Jesus says, you will do even greater things. Where was Jesus? Jesus was in the Middle East. He was in Galilee. He was in Jerusalem. He was in Capernaum. He was in Israel. But when he left, he commissioned his disciples to go everywhere. And so maybe part of the greater things is, this is where it's centered right now, Christianity, but do you understand where we're going to go? We're going to do even greater things. We're going to go even further. What advances has there been in several realms with the gospel? Jesus never flew on a plane. I mean, he could have went there, but he didn't. When he was on the earth, he was right there in the Middle East. Think of those who have ministered to those unreached groups around the world. Jesus never preached outside of Palestine. He was limited in his flesh. But then he used people, us, to spread his word. Think of this. As time has went on, man has learned how to conquer disease. Several of you in the room have experienced this. Some man, some woman, some scientist has figured out how to combat something that you had in your body. Where maybe during Jesus' time, if you weren't touched miraculously, you just would have died. Actually, some have even lost their lives because they're trying to help others. Whether it be the common cold to cancer, helping broken bones to heal. It's been stated this way. The physician and the surgeon nowadays have powers which to the ancient world would have seemed miraculous and even godlike. Think about this. Let us go back to walking with Jesus around, and somebody comes up and says, yeah, I had my gallbladder removed. You had what? What's a gallbladder? How'd that happen? Yeah, we did it laparoscopically. What? What are those words you're even using? And so the greater works could possibly be what God has allowed us to achieve by his power. The best thing is this. God is living within us. And what he will do within us through those greater works. The third thing I want you to see is this. what you ask in Jesus' name, he will do it. Whatever you ask in Jesus' name, he will do it. Turn with me to John chapter 15, verse 7. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. John chapter 15, verse 16. Here's what it says again. You do not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. John chapter 16, verse 23 and 24. In that day you will ask nothing of me. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Until now you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask, and you will receive, and your joy may be full. Maybe you wonder why people pray in Jesus' name. And I'm going to combat a comment here of our society for just a moment. When people say, our thoughts and prayers are with you, that prayer better be in Jesus' name. Now, I don't necessarily mean you have to apply Jesus' name at the end of every prayer. I think God's bigger than that. But we're not praying to some other God. We're not praying to some other idol. We're not praying to whomever else. We're praying in Jesus' name. And don't just think that we, just because we pray in Jesus' name, that your prayer is going to be answered. And don't just think that if you don't pray in Jesus' name, that your prayer won't be answered. Here's what William Culbertson said. Keep praying, but be thankful that God's answers are wiser than your prayers. Keep praying, but be thankful that God's answers are wiser than your prayers. There's a story that's told about a dad who took his son to a local diner, and they went for a sandwich to eat. And the dad, before they began to eat, he said, you know, today we're just going to have a silent prayer. We're not going to pray out loud. We'll just have a silent prayer. And so the dad got done praying for his food, and he finished, and his son just continued to sit there and actually quite a long time. Finally, the son gets done, and he says, and the father asks the son, well, what in the world were you praying about? And the young child replied, how do I know? It was a silent prayer. We have to be committed to knowing the Lord's will in things before we ask. I don't think we just say, whatever the Lord's will, but we must be surrendered to the Lord's will. Wouldn't it be great to say we are praying in this way because we know it's God's will? In some instances, we do. For the salvation of others, we know that God wants that. For the repentance of people, we know that God wants it. For us to trust him, we know that God wants that. For us to have the fruit of the Spirit living within us, we know God wants that. It's not like, oh, I wonder if we should show love today, or we should show hate. No, we pray for that because we know that. These are the prayers that he wants answered. But maybe you've been wondering, how do I pray? Well, I mean, how do I know to pray about a job that I should take? Or if I should move, or if I should date the certain individual, or if I should buy a Ford or a Chevy. I think God already has the answer for that one. But there are other ones like, should I fly or should I drive? Or what career I should be involved in? This is harder for us to know. But I want us to think about this passage that says, whatever you ask in my name, this will I do. Here's what E. Stanley Jones says, and I think I have it on the screen here. Prayer is surrender. Surrender to the will of God and cooperation with that will. If I throw out a boat hook from the boat and catch hold of the shore and pull, do I pull the shore to me, or do I pull myself to the shore? Prayer is not pulling God to my will, but the aligning of my will to the will of God. As you think on your life, what are you praying for? You praying boldly? What are you asking for from God? Be careful what you pray for, but pray boldly in Jesus' name. I am so thankful that Jesus showed us the Father. Do others see the Father through you and I? May you do even greater works than Jesus. And I wonder what great work God has in store for your life this week. And as you pray this week, I'm assuming you're going to pray. If not, pray this week. Find a time where you can pray. Go into your room, go into your closet, wherever you find yourself in prayer, and pray. And may you pray boldly in Jesus' name, because this is what Jesus says. Whatever you ask in my name, I will do. And trust and believe in Jesus. Would you stand with me today? I want to pray for each of you in that way. Lord Jesus, I thank you for this service. Your presence is here today. Thank you that you came, Jesus, to show us the Father. Philip said, how do we know? And Jesus says, I've shown you. God, I pray that we would not miss this, and we would say, well, what are we supposed to do? Your word clearly states what we are to do. Follow after you. And so, Jesus, I pray that you would enable us to show other people your compassion, your love, your light, all of your forgiveness, who you are. God, I pray that you would do greater works through us this week. I pray that there would be such an outpouring of your Spirit in our life that it's not something, we're not doing miracles per se. You may choose to do that, but because you're working within us, the fruits of the Spirit just exude from us. Please, could that be for myself and for everybody here today? And then, God, we pray boldly in your Son's name. Your word says that whatever we ask in your name, you will do. And so, God, I pray that you would help somebody here this morning. They've been praying about something, and it just doesn't seem that you've been working. And I just pray that you would remind us that you are pulling us closer to your will. And may we follow within that, but may we pray boldly. And so, dear Jesus, I ask, in the power of your name, that you would answer those prayers that are out there and that you would work your mighty will in our lives. I pray, God, that you would go before us, give us of your strength and your power and your love. May you be a shining light for us, and may we worship and honor and glorify your name. Thank you, God, for your presence. And God, I just pray that we would be great representation of who you are working in this world this week. And I pray this in the mighty and the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.